This is ILTA Radio, the source for legal technology practices and ideas to help your career delivered to fit your busy schedule. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.
Hi, ILTA members, it's Joshua Johns. Our meeting today is Security Has Your Vendor Been Tested podcast. Our guest today is Brenda Ferrero from Prevalent. Welcome, Brenda. You want to give us a little info about yourself before we get started?
Yeah, thanks, Josh. I'm very happy to be here. And I am the Vice President of Third Party Risk, and I have a lot of extensive knowledge with building third party risk programs, and we have what is called the Legal Vendor Network. And so I'm really happy to talk about what we're going to discuss today.
Excellent. Well, let's jump right into it. As I know from our previous discussion, you have plane to catch this afternoon. So what would you consider the standard certifications that as a vendor you're most regularly asked for by clients?
So that's an interesting question, and I've put a lot of thought to that because our customers are really the ones that will discern exactly what certifications they need. They think about their key controls and the types of certifications that are required in order to meet those. And so I put down a little list of some of the ones that are common to most companies and across the industry, not just in the legal organizations. And what I'm finding a trend in is that when it has to do with IT-related data sharing, they're wanting to know what the data flow diagrams are or the architecture diagrams. So that's not really specifically a certification that's being requested, but it's really something that needs to supplement a standard questionnaire that will give them insight into how the data is flowing, along with the fact that SOC 2 Type 2 reports are very prominent across all of the industries. And what's interesting about that one specifically is that when that report is provided, that not only is the security posture in place or not, but it will also provide opinions from the person who creates that security report on how to remediate it. And then there are some customers who like to have what's known as a shared assessment standard control assessment, known as the SCA. And that one is more of a thumbs up, thumbs down type of report. Either security control is in place or it's not. And then from there, we also ask a lot for the ISO certification. So that is really one of the certifications that would answer that question. And then there's five more. Pen test is another one that people are trying to find out. Are you doing regular pen test vulnerabilities that might be in play? Many companies are using what are known as software code scan results to define if there's any code vulnerabilities based on maybe they're doing software development for the company or the firm, or they're creating websites. And then the PCI report is a huge one. Many companies are asking for PCI reports or certifications that they have those types of due diligence in play. And then finally, policies and procedures, things like incident response, business continuity, change management, all of those ITIL, information technology infrastructure library types of practices. And outside of those supplementary documents and or certifications, what we're looking at across the board is a very cohesive approach to understanding risk. One is a questionnaire, which is the trust. Another one is threat monitoring intelligence, which is the verify. And then finally, the risk mitigation and management plans based on the results and looking at all of that information together to understand where we may have disconnects and gaps in risk and closing those gaps as rapidly as possible as the threat vector changes. I hope that answered your question. It was kind of wordy.
That was a fabulous answer. I greatly appreciate it. I'm sitting here going, man, she covered it all. That is awesome. As IG person, I understand all that. I know that there's all those audits and all those things you have to go through and show that you're doing it and produce the documentation. So thank you. That was wonderful. Next question would be, you know, there's a lot of gold partnerships and things like that out there nowadays. So are there many times in which you're asked to meet the needs of your clients?
Yeah. Another trend of 2020 when I talked about that in a previous webinar is that fourth, fifth, and sixth parties are really coming into play. And the reason for that is because if you don't follow the chain of either physical or business or cyber related vulnerabilities of where the information is being stored or where the policy is being driven from, then you can kind of get yourself into a hiccup. It basically will say, I know what I'm doing in my castle, but I don't quite know what the people are doing outside of my castle when they're protecting the information that I've handed off to them. So we are seeing a lot of companies that are saying, okay, I need to be able to do proper due diligence across the whole breadcrumb trail of wherever that personal identifiable information is spreading to, or privacy information is going, or data is being handled, hosted, processed, or stored. And when that happens, what's really interesting is that we're finding a deficiency when it comes to who's doing business with whom. So where are those shared associated relationships, vendor to vendor, customer to customer, client to client? And what's interesting is we're starting to see bubble diagrams that can reflect who knows about where the information is being flowed to or from. And then if a vulnerability or a breach or something happens environmental, how are we going to address stopping the bleeding from an incident or a crisis management perspective? So it's important to know who are your point of contacts at those places. What kind of information are they handling, hosting, processing, or storing? Are they working on-site or off-site? And all of these different stratification and profiling components are really important in order to see the interconnection. So kind of think of them like Tinker Toys, and all of those Tinker Toys fit together in a certain way. And there's always going to be a starting point and an ending point, and you have to follow the flow through all of those connections in order to really know how that information is being protected.
Perfect, for sure. There's an awful lot of that, and it was a question that was kind of posed and why we wanted you to give us that answer. That was great. Security and privacy are two major topics in the digital world today. We've got GDPR, CCPA, Brazil is falling into this, Germany has theirs going. And others are coming into effect or are already. How are you applying this in your client security requests?
Yeah, so what's really interesting is we have this phrase in the industry now that we're trying to kind of stick. In the U.S., we had the Brady Bunch. And in the Brady Bunch, there was a quote that was said, Marsha, Marsha, Marsha. Well, we've now translated that to privacy, privacy, privacy. And the reason is because there's such a pervasive focus on privacy today. I remember back in the day about 6 or 7 years ago when I was working at a large company and we started building the third party risk program, privacy and procurement and the IT organizations were very siloed. And we're starting to see this amoeba of things happening where they're all starting to connect together because they're so very important and stronger as they're connected together. So we looked at 2020 and we're seeing this major focus on data privacy, especially here in the US, because there's possibly going to be 50 plus different flavors of GDPR style law, because you've noticed that when we had New York Shield and now there's CCPA, which was released in January 1st. And we're also seeing that earlier this year, that extension that happened to ISO 27001 and ISO 27002, those were released specifically to address risks associated with third party and privacy. And so with all of this growing complexity, we're hoping that there's going to be some type of a federal regulator push with Congress that they'll somewhat do something like NIST did for the cybersecurity framework. So leveraging the best practices of the existing cybersecurity standard and kind of making one big privacy type of situation where it's not state by state, but it's all for the US. So kind of following in line with what GDPR did for the EU, but bringing that over to the US and having it so that we're not answering specific questionnaires for each state, but one conglomerate that's for the US. So we'll start keeping an eye on all of these things, and we do recommend that you start addressing the CCPA. And as long as you're doing the New York Shield, GDPR, and CCPA, hopefully that will then grow into something that's going to be more U.S. focused, and you'll be set up pretty well for the future with that. But it's ever changing, and it kind of gets a little bit maddening. So we say privacy, privacy, privacy.
I like that. Well, given how much information and risk and certifications and all this stuff that can just go down the rabbit hole, can you describe how you go about preparing yourself for the security requests from a client?
So there's a couple different ways. There's the customer approach, and then there's the vendor approach or the client approach. And we're seeing that in the past, we've been doing a lot of collecting of responses to questionnaires. And sometimes questionnaires can be standard questionnaires, like the Shared Assessment SIG, or it could be proprietary questionnaires that each company creates. And in an economic approach, we're trying to make it so that it is fill out one questionnaire, because everyone's asking the same content to be responded to in the same manner, which is a questionnaire, but it's written in a different Excel document or using a different platform. And so what we recommend to everyone in the universe is to say, fill out the standards that you know about. If you need to fill out the SIG, fill out the SIG. If you're using a CAIQ, fill out the CIAQ. And get all of those ready every year so that when a customer comes to you and asks for the information that they need, hopefully, crossing all fingers and toes, they're going to be asking you for a standard content questionnaire. And the reason for that is because majority of the companies that are putting platforms in front of the network systems, they're adopting the standards. And those standards are then being mapped to all of the compliance regulatory requirements. So for example, if you are to take a questionnaire and you put it into a network platform, it should easily show you how it is compliant with PCI, even if you did not get a PCI report. Or it should be showing you how you are compliant with CCPA, even if you didn't have a CCPA questionnaire that was specifically identified. So there's mapping in the background that can happen for you automatically. And then from there, you should be able to see what risks are associated to each customer's key controls and must-haves. So if I was a company that said, you must be doing multi-factor authentication or encryption of data in transit and at rest, I would be risk scoring that content that I'm able to absorb from either one, the network, or two, the standard questionnaire. And then from there, what we're looking to see in 2020 is the vendors and the customers that are doing services for law departments or other industries, is they would be able to have all of this information in a portal. And in that portal would be, here's my SIG questionnaire in the light format. Here's my SIG questionnaire in the core format. Here's my healthcare questionnaire that I filled out for the healthcare company. Here is my light that I filled out from the SIG, and I think I discussed that already. But if everything is available and you're keeping that information up to date on how you're remediating the risks, then it will be very easy for the client to engage in pulling down from the repository the information that's important for them to do their proper due diligence, and then having very quick automated response with regard to what's a risk for whomever you're working with to what you're doing as a service provider in how you're remediating it. And when a remediation is accomplished, then it should quickly get to the customer to know that the remediation has been addressed. And then you get to go in as a client and look at, okay, if they've remediated it, is it to my expectations or do we still have a risk? So on-site visits are starting to become a thing of the past, and we're starting to see a flux of, I'm going to ask a questionnaire in an automated way. I'm going to apply my configured key controls to identify risk, and then I'm going to use threat intelligence to help me verify what I can determine from the wild, because those scanning reports may tell me if what I'm finding out from my third party is true, or there may be some vulnerabilities that they're unaware of because they don't have that vulnerability report at their fingertips. And then ultimately tracking those risks and risk remediations to closure and showing it by a vendor level, a portfolio level, sliced and diced by a department level, and ultimately being able to show the board of directors for each of the companies where their vulnerability sits based on what their risks are. And what's really interesting about that is having so much data at your fingertips that you'll be able to say sector by sector or profile by profile what your top risks have become. So we're seeing in the legal industry that we're able to take the moderator tenant and look at the network and across all of the vendors, vendor agnostic, customer agnostic, where our highest risk is. We have a white paper that's coming out in the next month or two before the conference at ILTACON, and we're going to be releasing that white paper to help the legal community understand, here's what we're seeing as vulnerabilities across the legal community, and here's what we recommend that as a community, you go and you work on to close those risk gaps. So we're excited about that. We're working with the steering committee to write that paper with us, and we hope to have that out soon to everyone.
Well, I'm looking forward to reading that myself. With all the information you've given us already, Brenda, do you have anything else you want to provide to us?
You're welcome. And one other thing to add is that we're still finding that companies don't know their vendor or customer universe. So we have a way of helping to get that information at your fingertips for the proper prioritization of what due diligence needs to be applied to each. So let us know if there is a way that we can help you with doing a maturity assessment on your program to help you mature, or even finding out what your universe is to help you prioritize where to start. Those are the kinds of things that we want to help the legal community in. So let us know.
You've been very thorough and very informative, Brendan. I greatly appreciate the time that you've given us here today so that we can better understand that, you know, our vendors are being tested just as much as we are. So thank you.
You've been listening to ILTA Radio. Subscribe to ILTA's podcasts through iTunes or Podbean and get alerted about new recordings. ILTA Radio. Get tuned in.